debt. Act your own wage. The most immediate financial problem facing Alan and Jean was pressure from their creditors. And creditors they had. They had two loans from a bank, student loans, an outstanding balance on an assortment of credit cards, and then there was the home mortgage. The Hitchcocks' indebtedness started soon after they had married when they applied for their first loan. Jean, who grew up in a wealthy family, said, "Our friends had new cars, and we felt deprived. We have to have a new car, too." Later, when they transferred to Orlando, they bought a house in the suburbs, borrowing for the down payment. The debts just continued to pile up. Finally, Jean said, "The man from the bank told us he was going to take our house and garnish our wages if we didn't pay up." "Most of our debts were accumulated so slowly through the years," Alan said, "we didn't realize what was happening until it was too late." You know, each year, millions of people find themselves in the Hitchcock's predicament. A credit expert says a major reason is damage to the borrower's ability to pay. People take out loans on the assumption that they're going to have a steady flow of income. Then the unexpected happens. Someone gets sick, a new baby's on the way, an employer closes shop. Government, business, and personal debt is exploding. If you converted the total debt to $1 bills, placed them end-to-end, and pointed them out to space, they would extend more than 3 billion miles beyond the sun. The economy is riding on a growing mountain of debt. With so much debt around, you're bound to have casualties. Vern Countryman, a Harvard professor, explains, "It's just like automobile accidents. If you're going to have all those cars, you're going to have accidents." More than 1 million people annually file bankruptcy, more bankruptcies than during the Great Depression. Consumers now spend approximately $1 out of every $5 in take-home pay on personal debts, and that doesn't include the home mortgage. Even more sobering is a Gallup poll that found 56% of all divorces are a result of financial tension in the home. For many, the more accurate marriage vow would have been, "Till debt do us part." And these financial tensions exist largely because consumers believe the gospel according to Madison Avenue. You know what it says. Buy now and pay later with these easy monthly payments. We all know that there is nothing easy about those payments. Well, just exactly what is debt? Lenders and advertisers use very attractive definitions of debt that mask its harsh reality. Well, the thesaurus lists the following synonyms for debt: liable, minus, owing, in hoc, up against it, encumbered, insolvent, in the hole, broke. Do you feel uncomfortable as you read that list? I've yet to see one ad that promises the good life of buy now and pay later, balanced with these words that describe the reality of debt. I hope you're beginning to have the feeling that the advertisers might not be telling the whole truth of the abundant life as a member of the debt set. The dictionary defines debt as money or property which one person is obligated to pay to another. Debt includes money owed to credit card companies, student loans, bank loans, money borrowed from relatives, the home mortgage, and past due medical bills. Bills that come due, such as the monthly electrical bill, they're not considered debt if they're paid on time. Well, what does debt really cost? We need to understand the real cost of debt. The two most common types of debt are credit card debt and the home mortgage. Now, assume you have $5,500 in credit card debt. You're paying 18% interest. This would cost you about $1,000 in interest each year. But let's look at what happens for the lender's benefit. If you pay a lender $1,000 each year for 40 years, that lender is going to accumulate, are you sitting down, $4,168,000 if he earns 18% on your payment. Is there any wonder that credit card companies are so eager for you to become one of their borrowers? Now, compare the $40,000 you paid in interest during the 40 years with something else. If you took that money and invested $1,000 each year earning 10%, you'd accumulate $486,000. Clearly, debt has a much higher cost than many realize. So the next time you're tempted to borrow, ask yourself if the long-term benefits of staying out of debt outweigh the short-term benefits of the purchase. Debt also extracts a physical toll. It often increases stress, which contributes to mental, physical, and emotional fatigue. It can stifle creativity and even harm relationships. Many people raise their standard of living through debt only to discover that the burden of debt controls their lifestyles. That bumper sticker that reads, I owe, it's off to work I go, well, is an unfortunate reality for far too many people. Well, what does God's Word say about debt? Scripture's perspective of debt is very clear. Listen to the first portion of Romans 13:8 from several different Bible translations. Owe no man anything. Pay all your debts. Owe nothing to anyone. Keep out of debt and owe no one anything. And in Proverbs 22:7, we learn just why the Lord warns us about debt. Here's what it says. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. When we're in debt, we're in a position of servitude to the lender. And the deeper we're in debt, the more of a servant we become. We don't have the full freedom to decide where to spend our income because we've already legally obligated ourselves to meet these debts. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, Paul writes, "You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." You know, our Father made the ultimate sacrifice by giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And now He wants His children free, free to serve Him in whatever way He chooses. Did you know in the Old Testament, debt was even considered a curse? In the Old Testament, one of the rewards for obedience was being out of debt. Deuteronomy 28 says, "Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." On the other hand, debt was one of the curses for disobedience. Again, from Deuteronomy 28. "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe all of His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him." Think about this for a moment. When we get into debt, we assume that we will earn enough, we will have sufficient resources to pay the debt. We plan for our job to continue, our business or investments to be profitable. But you know, in James 4, verse 13, Scripture cautions us against presumption. Here's what it says. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that." You know, another problem with just jumping out and taking on a bunch of debt is that that may deny God an opportunity. Financial author Ron Blue tells of a young man who wanted to go to seminary to become a missionary. The young man had no money and thought the only way he could afford seminary was to use a student loan. However, this would have encumbered him with thousands of dollars of debt by the time he graduated. This would have been an impossible situation. He couldn't pay back his loan on a missionary's salary. So after a lot of thought and prayer, he decided to enroll without the help of a student loan and simply to trust God to meet his needs. He graduated without borrowing one penny and grew in his appreciation for how the living God could creatively provide for his needs. It was the single most valuable lesson he learned during seminary. It prepared him for the mission field, where he repeatedly depended upon the Lord to meet his needs. Borrowing may deny God an opportunity to demonstrate his reality to you. Well, when can we owe money? Scripture is silent on this. In my opinion, it's possible to owe money for a home or for your business or vocation. Now, this possible debt is permissible, we believe, only if the following three criteria are met. First, the item purchased is an asset with the potential to appreciate or to produce an income. Second, the value of the item equals or exceeds the amount owed against it. And third, the debt is not so large that repayment puts undue strain on the budget. Let me give you an example of how a home mortgage might qualify. Historically, the home has usually appreciated, but not always, as the real estate meltdown has demonstrated. But it's usually been an appreciating asset. Therefore, it meets the first criterion. Second, if you invest a reasonable down payment of a minimum of at least 20%, you could normally expect to sell the home for enough to at least satisfy the mortgage. And this meets the second requirement. Third, the monthly house payment shouldn't strain your budget. As a rule of thumb, all your housing expenses, and that includes the mortgage payment, utilities, taxes, insurance, and maintenance, shouldn't exceed 40% of your income. You know, if you meet all these criteria and assume some of this possible debt, I hope you'll immediately establish the goal of eliminating even it. As we've seen, we don't know if the housing market's going to appreciate or even maintain current values, and the loss of a job can interrupt your income. Therefore, I urge you, consider paying off all your debt.